Gordon Brown's basically saying two big things in the statement that he made at his press conference yesterday. The first is new rules, another go at doing new rules on expenses and allowances. And the second thing is to put the whole system under independent regulation. That is new, and that is really quite big. And providing he's speaking for all the other parties so that he's got the consensus around these changes that he failed to have last time he had a go at this a couple of weeks ago, the famous YouTube initiative, then, you know, these are, as he rightly said, significant changes.
He sounded serious about wanting to move on from this and concentrate on governing the country and arguing about the economy and so on.
Gordon Brown certainly sounded serious. I think he grasps that this is a crisis in politics, crisis in Westminster, that is subverting what he's still got, what authority he's still got to tackle the bigger issues. It's he's been slow overall to pick up on all of that, and he's not good at dealing with things on his feet. He likes to plan and to have things in an orderly way, and of course life isn't like that. He's been proved a bit wanting on that. Whether he can get a grip on the situation, get it under control, begin to establish in the public mind and in Westminster and with the press that he has got a strategy, that he has got a grip of the situation, that he can bring it under control, is really, really hard to predict. He's got the advantage that there's now about to be a parliamentary recess over the late spring bank holiday. That's going to help him to calm the mood. But every day there are fresh revelations and not everything has come out. And, he's under siege.
How does Michael Martin's resignation help MPs restore public trust that's been so badly damaged by the expenses scandal?
It's a necessary but not sufficient response to the crisis. He had to go. He had become an issue. Of course, he's a second. The question of the Speaker's position is a second-order issue compared with the actual expenses scandals themselves and the general mistrust of Parliament. Of course, it's true that to some extent he's become the lightning rod, some say the scapegoat for that. Nevertheless, something had to be done. He had been a lamentably bad Speaker in the eye of the storm. He had to go. The next Speaker has to be very, very different. And whoever it is, that Speaker is going to have to be a reformer.
And does the departure of Michael Martin as Commons Speaker further damage Gordon Brown's authority?
If this all unravels, and it might, it could be a situation in which Michael Martin rather drags Gordon Brown down with him. I think that is a possibility. Gordon Brown and Michael Martin are quite close. They have worked together. He has been an ally of the Prime Minister. And this was a wrench. Because clearly Gordon Brown told Michael Martin that the game was up and that he had to go. So getting rid of Michael Martin is, in a sense, throwing overboard an ally from Gordon Brown's point of view.
If there's going to be a by-election, what happens then?
If he ceases to be an MP, the question is he going to return straight to Westminster as a member of the House of Lords? Most recent speakers have ended up in the Lords. I imagine that one of the things he tried to ensure before agreeing to resign was that he would get a peerage. Now, that one might be okay in ordinary circumstances. Think back to Betty Boothroyd. I don't think anybody thought that was an inappropriate honour for Betty Boothroyd to get after she'd been Speaker. But in the case of Michael Martin, who's been forced out over a corruption and expenses issue, the idea that he's going to get a peerage out of all this looks really, really bad. So I suspect that from his point of view and from Gordon Brown's point of view, there will be an attempt to park Michael Martin's future until the general election, when I suspect you will find that he will be given a peerage like most previous speakers.